You're not a lawyer, and Solutions Barbados says you are made up of business people.
Yes.
What would you do differently? What power would you take away from the lawyers, for instance, so that you could make this system more efficient and appear to be fairer to the average person, so that it does not appear as though they are using their positions to feather their own nest in that regard?
Yes. I wouldn't, Solutions Barbados would not take away power from lawyers. What we would do is to have a mental shift, because lawyers are supposed to be serving people. They're supposed to be, the word prime minister means primary servant. And unfortunately, we flipped it around to mean that we worship and give homage to prime ministers. But really and truly, they're...
So you're satisfied with the status quo as far as their
power? Yeah, however, what they do need to do is to understand, the paradigm shift comes where they say, I am a lawyer and I'm here to serve people.
So you should be able to, if you have a mortgage, you should have a lawyer who represents the person that you're buying the property from.
Yes, and the
serving both you, the bank and well, serving two people at the same time.
As a matter of fact, I don't think that the bank should select your lawyer. If your brother or sister is a lawyer and you want to use them to do your conveyance, you should not have to use the bank's lawyer.
Solutions, Barbados.
But the bank, that is not the case.
That's not the case.
That's your choice. The bank may say that you can go to X lawyer, but you don't have to take it.
But a lot of Barbadians, the average Barbadians, if you go to speak to anybody that just did a conveyance, they will tell you that they have to use the bank's lawyer.
No, that is not.
That is what's pushed.
That's not the experience.
The truth is, that there's a savings in fees if you do that.
So they say.
There may be
a savings.
Not every case, because the lawyer might discharge for
fees. No, there's a savings in fees. Okay.
No, they're supposed to be.
And that's what encourages people to go to the bank's lawyer. But don't say the bank forces anybody to
No,
use
no,
a
I'm
lawyer.
Saying that's that because the experience of many Barbadians is that, say, I'm told by the bank that I have to use a lawyer.
No,
I'm telling you that's what happens.
They don't have to.
Y'all are too far away from the Barbadians, you know. You have to get like solutions and get on the ground.
Yeah, but the question what is happening. No, but my question stands in that respect. There are some issues here that people see that suggest that the system needs reform.
Correct.
In these areas.
Yes.
And they would expect that an organization like yours would be identifying some of those obstacles.
Yes, and we have.
And seeking to change them.
And I'm so happy you said it, because this is exactly what we're seeing. If you want to do business faster in 2018, it cannot be business as usual. I know that ministers get frustrated because... they say that the persons in the public sector don't work efficiently in many cases sometimes. But when you have a system, when you want to compete on the international market, you have to behave international. It cannot be business as usual. And so the thinking, the mindset, the behavior, the machinery, whatever mechanisms need to be put in place to take that particular area seriously should be put in place.
But you don't have any.
Who?
You're saying watch.
When Solutions Barbados assumes the government, the intention is to go and deal with those matters. And this,
but you don't think that people would want to get something from you more specific in that regard? No, rather than...
No. But I'm actually telling you what we're going to do. We will make sure that the mechanisms are put in place, because we are not serious. You can't be doing international business and have two or three people to have a throughput. That takes 6 months.
So what are specific mechanisms?
So the specific mechanisms to increase the quantum of persons that are processing applications to do implementation.
What about the UPP?
But my question is, or my concern is that do we need an attorney to do everything that there is relating to business or even within the court system? Aren't there small matters to be dealt with that can be dealt with in the absence of an attorney?
The attorneys here should answer that, because, in all fairness to many people, it seems that when we talk about how slow the system is, there is that perception that by having to use attorneys for so many things, that helps to create the challenge that we face.
Well, if you think so, then change the system. If you can make a will, you can write your own will, but you go to an attorney, because you feel that he has the specialist knowledge and that he will get it right. So that would be so for a number of other things. There are forms and so on that you can use. You can file your own case in court and that kind of thing. But
that's not promoted.
You go to an attorney because you figure he will get it right.
And sometimes he gets it wrong.
But sometimes because he's human. So don't blame the attorney if you
we're dealing with the system and how the system can be reformed to help people.
David, this is a very interesting issue. Of course, the delays in the legal system are just symptomatic of what's happening in Barbados right now in terms of delays in doing business, and we have fallen now to 139 in the world out of 160 odd countries in terms of ineffectiveness of being able to do business in this country. Look, the Barbados Labour Party, for instance, under Minister Ronald Toppin, an outstanding Member of Parliament, set up a consumer claims tribunal. I had the honour of being one of the first members to be appointed to that tribunal, sat for 6 years. We created that system whereby if you, a so-called small claims court, you could carry claims less than $10,000 there, where you had a consumer issue, for example, with a store in Bridgetown. We appointed an attorney at law, a legal counsel, public counsel, as the attorney for the person, the plaintiff, the complainant, didn't have to pay any legal fees. The Democratic Labour Party, for instance, on the other hand, has set up an employment rights tribunal. And within, 3 years after it finally got off the ground, tremendous delays and cases now you're already hearing taking 3 years after you file a wrongful and an unfair dismissal claim. You're hearing that they're going to take 3 years to come before a tribunal to be heard. They haven't given it resources. Nine persons appointed should have had three tribunals. You only have one secretary for the three tribunals. You have appointed as chairman all busy practicing lawyers. I'm not their fault, and I'm not, as I said, otherwise I'm questioning their competence. But you could have got retired judges or magistrates to chair these matters. And that has to be a case where a failure of implementation on the part of the government.
So the question
you had an issue where the Attorney General of Barbados said he was going to amend the Legal Profession Act to bring, whereby it would be made easier, for example, to discipline lawyers. You would have more disciplinary committees. That was said about 3 years ago. Parliament has dissolved itself after 5 years, 1 month, and no amendment to Legal Profession Act. I don't even know that the Legal Profession, the Bar Association, was consulted on this particular issue.
Where is the
and
evidence?
All of this relates to failure of political will to reform the systems in Barbados.
Mr. Hinkson, let me hear.
He keeps repeating these things not only in the House on Tuesdays, but he's come on the air with it. No, for instance, where is the evidence that because the Attorney General has failed or did not amend the Act, that there's been a failure to discipline attorneys at law?
Well, you just have to ask the hundreds of clients in Barbados on the particular issue.
Mr. Hinkson may want to give the impression that these matters are matters that occurred yesterday. I served on the Civil Committee of the Bar Association for 13 odd years between 89 and how much of it is to get 13. And there were issues coming up, and they were dealt with. There are still issues coming up before the Bar Association. So stop giving the impression that all is so wrong and that these things are as a result of the government.
Look, when Michael still, and I sat we, on the disciplinary committee, they didn't have half still, the attorneys at law they have now. They have about 1,200 now, and there's been no reform.
Mr. Carrington, let's be realistic. I've had a number of people sending information to me here via WhatsApp and stuff. This whole question of we're looking at the challenges within the legal system. There are many people who are concerned about the conduct of attorneys at law. And they are worried that this is a system that appears to protect people who are guilty, who go before the courts and are convicted of taking certain action And yet the system appears to protect them. Now, they're saying
protect them in what way?
Nothing much happens as far as they are concerned. As far as they're concerned, it takes too long.
Justice denied.
The whole issue of justice denied in that context is a worry for too many people. How do we fix that for those who are worried about it? What would you suggest?
I am suggesting to you. I don't have this information that you have, but from my experience as a member of the Bar Association's disciplinary committee, and from what I've seen in the courts, matters have been dealt with by the Bar Association as they come up. But you know, they
can it be reformed? Based on your experience, is there need for reform? Because that's what we look into the future.
I don't think there's need for reform, but I think if you want to make people more comfortable, assuming that your database is correct, then I have no difficulty with a system that puts non-lawyers to sit on these panels, so that it's transparent. If you want to do that, then let's do it.
David, I'm very concerned with what was just said.
That it is not fair to attorneys at law to keep throwing around these things without basically the evidence.
The evidence is certainly that now, with over 1,200 lawyers in Barbados, there is still a situation where there's only one disciplinary committee for lawyers that sits. Clearly, it is made up of practicing lawyers who are busy, and we should have more disciplinary committees functioning almost on a full-time basis.
Is this a BLP commitment? Lawyers.
Yes, again, that's something clearly that we would be committed to, because it affects the lives of ordinary citizens in Barbados.
Edmund, I want to comment on what you just said, because the reality is that when you are a profession, or the profession of pharmacy, law, medicine, or whatever, the reason why you're one of the factors of being considered to be a profession is that you have an ongoing, growing body of knowledge. And so the state moves from time to time so that there are times where you need to amend, change, enhance, and so on. And any profession that is not changing the laws to affect greater governance and respect and the practice of its practitioners is falling behind. And to say that you don't believe that there's any need to amend the laws is a misnomer when you're talking about a profession. I must say, though, that I'm sitting here with both of you, one on my left and one on my right. I know this is Lent, but with two manifestos written by two different parties. And for the most part, both of you have not been executing the things contained within those manifestos. And this is why manifestos are a concern to me when they're not executed.
You know, that's the challenge you all have
the good thing about us.
Because yes. You haven't been tried and tested, and based upon the experience that we have had with the two of them,
we've seen
we
that
they don't the same thing from you.
No. Well, I'm happy to report today to all
you
of Barbados.
You have a BLP manifesto? Let me see it.
Look, there it is right there, the Covenant of Hope.
You have one right next to me there.
But the point is this, Barbadians know that you put out manifestos.
There's no manifesto.
You need to execute the contents of a manifesto.
How do we hold your feet to the fire with these promises that you come with from Solutions Barbados?
Well, Merry Christmas, David. I'm happy you asked that question, because today I want to let Barbados know that for too long we have people with manifestos, but because of the type and the character of persons that we have selected to represent Barbadians, me for St. Michael's South, Paul Gibson for St. Michael's South, you have a situation where we have people that work with experience. I've worked with international companies and understand what
I'm
it means to execute.
But the fact
you have to do. There's one thing we do not do in our party. We do not say we are looking to. If you say that in the Solutions Barbados, you are blackballed.
No,
we do not use that thing. We are looking to,
Mr. Gibson,
right now, even if we don't have
party. You know full well that what we are talking about. You spoke earlier about measurement.
Yes.
You talked about penalties. When you come back to this program, we will discuss measurement on policies.
It's a verb.
And penalties.
Measurement
is
a verb.
As it relates to the promises that are coming from parties
solution.
Like yours.
Solutions Barbados.
This is Down to Brass Tacks, the People's Parliament. We are back with our discussion on crime and deviance part 2, looking at the legal system. with Edmund Hinkson of the Barbados Labour Party, Nigel Newton of the United Progressive Party, Paul Gibson of Solutions Barbados, and Michael Carrington of the Democratic Labour Party. We're going to come to the telephone lines now, and I think we got David Comajon is on the line. Hello, David.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Yes, we wanted to get your perspective on what needs to be done by these political parties to really improve the legal system in this country and make a difference in a positive way. What do you see as the priority issues?
Well, David, so far as criminal law is concerned, the major insight I would like to share is that prevention is better than cure. We are not going to be able to deal with the ever-rising incidence of crime and criminal cases by establishing more courts, appointing more magistrates and more prosecutors. If we go that route, we are going to end up bankrupting ourselves. I think our thinking on this matter has to be similar to our thinking in relation to the health problem. We are not going to be able to solve the health problem with another hospital and more expenditure on doctors and medications. We have to get Barbadians to practice healthier lifestyles and thereby cut down the incidence of illness. Similarly, with the issue of crime, we are going to have to make the kind of interventions that will lead this society to be less prone to criminality. Recently, I made a proposal to the two teachers' unions in Barbados, the Barbados Union of Teachers and the Barbados Secondary Teachers Union, to bestir themselves and to take the initiative to put in place a mentorship program in both primary and secondary schools to intervene with at-risk children who exhibit tendencies that lead you to believe that something is wrong in their home life, something is wrong with how they are thinking and reacting, and they might end up being candidates of the criminal justice system down the road.
Well, last week we spent some time looking at the social dimension to this, and what we do accept your point that there needs to be a holistic approach to the problem. However, today the focus is on the legal system, and no matter what we do, we will still have to make some changes in this particular arena. So can you focus on that aspect of it,
conceding that
we have to do some more work on the other side?
Right, okay, but that's a very important concession, because that we have to adopt a new way of thinking about these problems. And that new way of thinking has to be along the lines of prevention as opposed to finding resources to cure after the disease. So the reality is, David, in our magistrates' court system, quite often those magistrates are dealing with 30-something and 40 cases on their cause list on any day of the week. That is an impossible situation. Unless we do something with, you know, with those kind of social interventions, we are going to be in trouble. But I take your point. Okay. One of the things that we could do is a better management of the cases. For example, I have had the experience. I'm representing a client. He's charged by the police with possession of cannabis. Because the cannabis was of a certain quantity, they've also hit him with a charge of having a trafficable quantity and supplying and so forth. So typically three charges out of one incident of possession. So we come to court and we say to the prosecutor, look, We are prepared to plead guilty to the simple possession because we accept, you know, he did have the cannabis. He's prepared to plead guilty. But this man was not selling anything. Whatever he had was simply for personal use. The officers who deal with his geographical area, they know that he's not one of the sellers or pushers. Can we have an arrangement, an agreement, where we enter the guilty plea for the simple possession and you discontinue the other two charges? Officer, you know, the prosecutor says no. He doesn't have the authority to make those kinds of decisions, and in any case, the people above him are not going to agree to that. So you have a situation where a man could have come to court on the first day, could have pleaded guilty, could have been punished, and that matter would have been taken off the court roster. You now have that matter clogging up your system for the next 3 years. So I'm saying that better management, plea bargaining, those kinds of things could cut down on some of the caseload, because the truth is the caseload is, you know, there's a lot of criticism made of the judicial officers, and yes, judicial officers could come to court more promptly on mornings. I would like to see magistrates' courts beginning at 9 a.m. so that by 1 p.m. you've had 4 solid hours of work. I would like to see judges routinely starting at 9:30. You know, and so things like that, those kinds of improvements would go some way. But at the end of the day, it is impossible for a judge to be dealing with 20-something civil matters in one day, and for a magistrate to be dealing with some 40 cases in one day. So better management of those cases, plea bargaining, understanding that if you charge a man with 3 offenses, if you can get one and you discontinue the other two and you expedite the matter, that makes more sense than clogging up the system for the next 3 years.
Okay.
So far as the Supreme Court is concerned, the civil side of the Supreme Court, I am convinced, David, that a big part of the problem is the new civil procedure rules. I don't know if you all have had that discussion thus far.
No.
On the program.
No.
Okay. Well, just to give the public the background, traditionally we had our own civil procedure rules, which were modeled on the traditional British rules, and these were rules and practices that had grown up over a period of centuries. And to my mind, they were very practical. They were well adapted to our particular environment. They allowed both litigants and their lawyers to go at their own pace. But there came a point in time some years ago where there was this allegation that we had this whole backlog of old cases and that somehow our rules were at fault. When, in truth and in fact, what used to happen is that the cases would be filed. Sometimes the litigants would lose interest in the case. To all intents and purposes, it would be a dead case, nobody interested in pursuing it. But because it remained on the court records, it showed up that the court had this big backlog of cases, and that caused a kind of crisis mentality.
So where's the system failed now?
So we went now and we scrapped our old rules, and we introduced these new rules that we adapted again from some recent changes made in the United Kingdom. But what these new rules have done, David, is that no longer can lawyers or litigants go at their own pace. Everything now is very kind of driven by the court. And once you file a matter, there is no allowing it to drift. It keeps coming up again and again and again before the judges. And so the new rules have multiplied the number of what we call interlocutory procedures or applications that come before the judge. So the judges are now overburdened, and nobody is paying attention to the fact that a lot of this overburdening, a lot of these matters that recur before the judge and clogging up the judge's cause list, is because of the new rules. And until we recognize that and look at refining these new rules, reforming them in such a way that we cut out this this deluge of applications, interlocutory applications before the judge, we are going to be in a situation where judges are just overloaded, and the only solution we are going to think of is more judges.
Okay.
And that is not going to work.
Well, thank you very much, David Comerjean. We'll get some reaction from the panelists. But before we do so, we're going to open up the telephones a little bit more. Once again, try to get a cluster of comments and calls, suggestions coming from members of the public, so that you really participate in this as the People's Parliament. So let's get some calls there. Good afternoon. Down to brass tacks. Let's take another call. Hello? You're on the air. Hello? Welcome to the program. Yes, welcome. Do we have a caller? I think we've had quite a number of them, but chances are that they might have dropped out by now, because people hold on for so long, they run out of patience. We have another caller, though. Hello. You're on the air. Hello. Something, this is a new call, and we're not hearing anything there. Hello? All right. In the meantime, you've heard from David Comerjean speaking about the whole question of the new procedures, the new civil procedure rules. He feels that that has contributed to the problem. Other lawyers here have a similar view, Michael Carrington and Edmund Hinkson.
I totally agree with David. I know you've tried to confine us to the criminal and the legal aspect of it without looking at social. My first intervention in this program, I said, you know, it is very difficult to do so. Yes, clearly I agree with him that prevention is better than cure. And in our draft manifesto, we have set out comprehensively how we will look at intervening in early childhood education to provide our youth with the ability and capacity to think critically, to resolve problems, to resolve conflict, to identify at-risk youth at an early age, at age 3 and 4, 5 and 6, to test youth for learning, reading skills, hearing, sight, to reopen the Alma Parish School that ought never, ever to have been closed last year, to strengthen the at the Nichols School, all of that we have looked at in our draft manifesto.
You're opening up that social dimension that I hope we last week.
But you can't look at it. You can't look at
it. No, we're not looking at it that way.
In an isolated case.
No. We gave two bites at this cherry.
Yeah.
One was to look at the social dimension 1 week. Mm-hmm. Next one is to look at this aspect this week. We concede that they are both important.
Interrelated.
Let's take another call.
Civil procedure.
Just hold on. Let's take the calls because. Okay. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. I heard when you start the program earlier that you would have said that that lawyers and accused persons are 44% apparently responsible for adjournment. I don't agree, because I'm saying to you, where I would have sat in court already, and whenever you get into court, the first thing you hear the prosecutor is saying, he don't have a fight. He don't have a fight. A magistrate sits back to listen to a prosecutor saying that they don't have a fight for a matter that something is 5 years old. I would not dismiss it.
This matter, in the same document that I referred to, it drew attention to this whole question of the files. And they recommended here that junior officers should be required to complete case files and take responsibility for them, ensuring that all the investigation is complete and the necessary information has been included in the file. It also went on to recommend a system of rewards for proper case file preparation should be introduced to encourage junior officers to take greater pride in this aspect of their work. This was well recognized all back in 2004, 2005, when this particular document was prepared. The question is, what stopped both the BLP and the DLP from doing anything about this kind of recommendation? This country is notorious for spending a whole set of money on consultancies and then taking the reports and putting them on somebody's desk and doing nothing. So both of them must answer to the question of, was this introduced? And if not, why not?
But I am also blaming judges and magistrates, because the Sir David Simmons, at his tenure of Chief Justice, would have brought a system where judges, we're giving judges either three or four adjournments. After three or four adjournments, he then would have made a ruling that those matters be dismissed. You have matters, you have judges and magistrates sitting on benches and refusing to dismiss matters for warrant of prosecution. It's magistrates and judges.
Takes too long.
Too long. And not only that, but you would have said apparently earlier that attorneys and actually accused men cannot fail to turn up to court. If not, a warrant would be issued for those accused men.
Sometimes they can't find them, though.
But very
it's
weird.
Well established that sometimes they can't find them. Let me get some other views. Okay. I hope that the panelists will just take note of what you said and you come back to that. Let's take another call. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
All the intelligent minds in the studio, the ones before and the ones that are supposed to come. Now, I am a layman, so I may not be as knowledgeable as yours, so help me if I'm going wrong. I listened to Commissioner Jesno speaking about plea bargaining, because that's why would understand that part is what I'm going to go with. Now, the persons like myself who are here who have had crimes committed to and against, they're taking their hand a situation to plea bargain one of us out of satisfaction or proper representation in the court when crimes are committed against some of us by plea bargaining. It's okay to have plea bargaining. Now, when you find you have a lady in one gap that was assaulted and robbed by her gold chain, locked neck off, etc. The other person house broken into, down the road you're going to find the guy with weed or whatever it is. You're going to plea bargain. Somebody going to get left out of the case. Which means justice is not done for that particular person that the crime was committed to. Now, I believe in mind is what should happen. I could be wrong. Commissar say he don't believe in mind there should be more judges. But I believe there should be. You know why? Give it a space of 10, 15 years, whatever you want to do. Have it in some sort of contract that the judges or the persons who will try the cases will come on for a five-year period in a contract with understanding of that. And after they realize within the 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever happened in this contract, these judges will be discontinued. Let them understand this would be happening when they get the position.
Judges on contract. This,
pardon me?
So you're saying judges on contract?
Yes, judges on contract. So after a period of time, it wouldn't burden the system with excess judges when we start to get this whole criminal thing cleared up, or what I would say rectify in a reasonable or manageable way.
You're going to get some reaction to that idea.
Yes.
Because you know that conflicts with a certain principle that is considered to be quite well established and enshrined. So
yeah, but you know, we have reaction to do as you all in there saying, and ones before you and the ones I believe that are going to come after are going to agree, we need to change things and do things differently.
Fair enough.
This is what all y'all are saying. Now, my last thing about this.
Yes.
And I want you all to answer and Mr. Commissioner to come back and tell me. How do you justify the person who the crime was done against and you're pre-bargaining that person out of justification? What you going to do about that? You're forgetting us, so here we are the majority. You all are few.
And so you think that pre-bargaining disadvantages the victim?
It does. And I know you know that too, and all those in there know it. It does. Because if some person went in my house, assault me, take my possessions from me, you see you all talk about dementia. Those things lead to all of these type of things. Some people cannot go back to sleep. Some people can't even leave home. When they leave home, they're running back home. There's a lot of things, and that's the slightest crime that I'm speaking about. What about other ones that are committed more like rape and excessive things and more forceful and wounding people in the own premises, the own house that they work so hard for in Barbados? So it's okay to say this pre-bargaining.
Okay, we got to go to another caller.
Good.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Down to Brass Tacks, the People's Parliament today. Hello. Let's take another call. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Just a few observations I want to make, sir, your esteemed panelists and so on. First of all, I was reading a report some time ago that suggested that this backlog is not something peculiar to Barbados. Jamaica and Trinidad and others have the same problem. It is mainly blamed on the fact that court cases have grown by almost 45% over the last 15 to 20 years, mainly because of the drug trade. It has been suggested in some quarters that less time should be awarded for incarceration and higher fines should be imposed to take the pressure off the system where drugs are concerned. Here in Barbados, I have noted that there seems to be a problem in the drafting of laws, the accurate drafting of laws. And when they come to court, they seem to run into a lot of hail of criticism and have to go back. I think that's a waste of time. I think it's because we don't have the scholarship or we don't have the jurisprudence level that we used to have maybe 25 years ago. I think we need to brush up on that. I believe traffic cases could be tried some on weekends and some at night. Arrangement could be made for that. And, of course, the ticketing system would help tremendously. The other point I want to make is that we are punishing ourselves because we are not as accurate and we're not as efficient as we should be. Sometime last year, two executions in the United States originated all the way back in 1998. I was amazed that it could stay the system that long, but that was the United States. So I think even although we have our problems, I think we can improve our problems if the legal side, if the attorneys and the people in the judicial system can sit down at some point in time and come up with a series of procedures, but these procedures, you put them in place and then they don't work. I heard a gentleman talking about starting court on time and making sure that appointments that appeals and so on are heard on time and documentation is properly prepared and in the system. These are areas that we can handle in Barbados. We have people who are supposed to be educated, quite a bit of qualifications, but we're not seeing the quality in the execution of their jobs. And this is a big problem.
How would you deal with that? The question of accountability within the system has been raised time and time again in different ways. How would you address that? One person just said, put the judges on contract. The judges are not the only people within the system who need to be held accountable. The lawyers got serious complaints about the extent to which they have to be calling for delays and that sort of thing. How do you fix that?
I believe that there should be a, I don't know if you call them a judicial manager or something like that, who should monitor the function of the judges in the court and the lawyers in the court, and the prosecutors in the court. You should have a calendar to see which cases are coming forward, which cases are going forward, which cases are stagnating, and whoever is responsible should be called to book.
So you're calling for more efficient management.
That's right. You should have a judicial manager in the system, because you find judges are friends of one another, police are friends of one another, lawyers are friends of one another, and they slip and slide, and they don't want to say, look, this is not good enough. You got to do better than this.
Coming right back after these messages. Thank you very much.